in Romans 6 and the very last verse of the chapter, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Wages or a gift, both are declared in the text. I'm sure you've heard perhaps many times in our own day of those poor folk who have been lured from their own family and country with the promise and the prospect of riches, if not great treasure and great riches, perhaps simply of a decent wage. And they have the hope that they might come to our country and find employment, because that's what's been promised them, that indeed they might help and support their own family. Now, much is made about this, and those immigrants coming and so on, or they financial immigrants and so on. I'm not referring to any of those issues at all. I just would suggest that perhaps before we're critical of them, you might place yourself in their position, in their country, where they may be, living in, abject poverty and perhaps even squalor. And they are presented with this opportunity to come to better themselves. There's nothing in their own country. There's no way out, it would seem. Then along comes one of these individuals that arrange to smuggle people into the country and so forth, and hold out this offer. "Oh, if you could but just get there, we can do this for you. You come, we'll arrange it all. Indeed, we'll even do it legitimately, some are promised." And of course, they take the bait, they come, and then what happens? And we have read of many cases, and it's ongoing to this very moment, to this very day. Not only do they not get the wages, but some of the cases that have been reported, they've come from squalor and practically in something worse, not better. Some placed in little caravans with broken windows or something, or some squalid little hovel and piled in there. And not only do they not get the promised wages, their passports are taken. They can't run. Indeed, if it's illegal, they can't even report it, and many have lived like this for some time and for some years. They're abused in so many different ways. There's not only do they not get wages and enough for themselves, there's certainly absolutely nothing to send back home. They've been tricked. They're being abused. Now the text tells us here, though, the wages of sin is death. Here's equal pay. Here is a payment, a wage that every single person will get. It's the same pay for men as it is for women. It's the same pay, at least the basic pay, if we call it that, for young people, for those that have come to an age of understanding and yet continue in a life of sin, a life away from God, a life without a Savior, a life without an atonement, where there is a remedy for our sin. No, here are wages that are paid, that most definitely will be paid, and paid to every single person. Indeed, here's a profession that everybody works in. We today have many, many different professions. many different kinds of employment, and everybody working in them gets their relative and yet different wages depending on what they are. The doctor's wages set. The nurse gets a wage. The plumber, the plasterer, the carpenter, the soldier, the sailor. Different professions, different employments, different wages. Here's a basic wage that's paid out to everyone. It's one we'll not want, of course, but it's one that we will get. There's no conning, there's no duping. This is a wage that God himself will pay out. Equal pay, as it were. We're all guilty. We're all sinners. The profession, of course, that I refer to, that everyone works in, and it's the same profession, is the profession of sin. The wages of sin is death. That's the pay for living in our sins and without a Savior and without salvation. It's paid to everyone, and God will see to it that it is. It's earned by everyone. The wages of sin is death. True, of course, today, some do get their wages for next to nothing. They hide well their laziness. Others are doing the work, perhaps in the company. The company's making money. They haven't yet twigged. This one, this individual, these couple, whatever, they're the shirkers. They're not workers. But you know, here's something everybody is very proficient in. The most proficient workforce on earth are the sinners. We're all so good. We're industrious. We're persistent. We're diligent. It could be said of us, we're good workers. We earn the wages. And this is mankind. This is you. As an unsaved person, until we get to the second part of the text and God's gift that somehow takes away the wages and sees we're not paid them, though they still must be paid because they've been worked for and they've been earned. The wages of sin is death. Of course, the remedy is in Christ, as you well know from what you've heard, perhaps from childhood. But we're proficient, we work hard, we work diligently, and we earn the wages. The wages of sin is death. If you're not saved, think a moment of the wages that you're working for. Think what will be paid out to you for your efforts. And they're good efforts. You're working well. It comes naturally to us. There are sins of different kind. Some just use their brain and an arm, perhaps, in their profession. You know, they do all the thinking, they do analysis and whatever, they're skilled, they're qualified and they're very good, and they write up whatever it is and their recommendations and so on. Some just use not so much of their brain, if I can put it like that. They may be more of the laboring kind. They just use their arms and their legs, and it's all about grafting and hard labor. But here in this little picture of working for a wage and working in a profession which is sin, the wages of which is death, of course, the sinner uses every sense. Here's how good we are at our work, the work of sinning. There's not a sense that isn't used. The eye. The sinner sins with the eye, diligently. Not constantly, some more than others, but the eye, we behold things, we see things. We see things we ought not to see. Maybe even with the eye of the soul, we imagine or we see things. We can produce images, even in our sleep, our imaginations. We're using, as it were, the eye, the organ of sight, imaginary and yet real images and pictures. We use the sense of sight. We use the sense of hearing. We will give our ears to all the wrong kinds of things. Constantly. So we use our eyes well and diligently. Working. We use our ears. We hear things we shouldn't hear. We listen to things we shouldn't listen to. We use our tongues. We say things we should never say. There are things that are rarely on our lips that we should say. We should be expressing love to the Lord. We should be singing His praises. We should be worshiping. We should be praying. We should be communing with Him. But we're silent there. And why would we not be? Because we are estranged. We are separated from Him. We have no affection for the Lord. We have no interest in His cause, in His name. No, we prefer to live life blotting Him out as if He wasn't there at all. We use the eye, we use our ear, we use our tongue, we touch. We do things with our hands we ought never to do, degrading things, bad things. Perhaps we can steal, we can slip something here, we can write a little something inaccurately, we can fill in a report and we can lie in that, and we can do all sorts of things with our hands. You don't need me to paint the picture in all its grotesqueness. But some of the things that are done, acts of violence and so forth. Snatching, taking, abusing, touch, even taste. Even that sense, every sense goes in to our diligent work in the profession of sin. Earning sin's wages, which is death. I was thinking of gluttony, I was thinking of drunkenness when I said taste, the sense of taste. So the wages of sin is death. And the scripture tells us, if we're in any doubts, of course, some of these texts are used so often, but their familiarity is often what means they're not considered, they're not thought of in the way that they should. But the Bible says, and all have sinned. We're all guilty. We're all worked for the wages of sin. And God is a fair, if I put it this way, God will see that we get the wages we've worked for. The wages of sin is death. If a man's good at nothing else, he is a good sinner. You're a good sinner. There aren't any bad ones. Oh, in the sense of earning. And so we deserve the wages that we shall receive. Everybody that dies without Christ, without a Savior, will be paid out the wages that they have worked so diligently for. They will not be happy with them. They will not want them, but they shall receive them. This is why it's so important that we give heed to God's word. If sin was taxed, we'd all be in the top bracket. Some, of course, would earn a lot more than others. Just pushing this little illustration and picture a little further. I used the term basic pay because the wages of sin is death. There's the basic pay to every sinner. Death. Death spiritually, death physically, death eternally. That's the pay. That's the basic pay. But of course there are bonuses, if I can use it in this sense. There are additional payments on top of the basic pay. And I'm thinking of those that have the greater light. Same basic pay, but not ultimately everyone will get exactly the same within it. There will be death plus, as it were, for some. And again, I'm thinking of those who've been given great light. This is what the scripture teaches. The Lord himself taught this, didn't he? He said those that did not know the master's will would be beaten with few stripes. But those that did know and refused to do it would be beaten with many. They were privileged. They knew exactly what was required, but they refused to do it. The greater judgment will fall on such. Let me again just emphasize, because this applies to those that have been brought up in a Christian home, who've been brought up in an evangelical church, who have had godly Sunday school teachers, who have heard the gospel, who have been given literature and books and so on as children, and you've read them, and it's been reinforced to you and affirmed a thousand times over, unless you die trusting in Christ, you'll be lost. And you know the gospel, you know the facts of the gospel, you know what you need to do. You've been blessed with light that millions upon millions, your age, just like yourself, have not been given and perhaps never will. I remember someone preaching and he said, you know, no one goes to hell because of their sins. They go there because they do not believe in Christ. I know what he meant, but he was very wrong. We are going to hell because of our sins. That's why we're going there. Because that's the wages that's paid for our sin. Rejecting Christ, who is the remedy, will make certain you go there. If you know about Christ and you know he's the Savior and the only one who can reconcile you to God, and you ignore him, you are bound to be lost. But you're not being lost because of that initially. That will add to your guilt. That will compound your punishment and guilt. But you're lost because of sin. Just to illustrate that, it's like dying of a particular illness. Why are you dying? Because of the illness. He said, oh, but there's the remedy. He's dying because he doesn't take the remedy. No, I'm dying because of the illness, but if I don't take the remedy, certainly I will die. There's the possibility of cure. The wages of sin is death. People are dying because of their sins. But there is an added, there is a death plus. The wages of sin is death, but there's a death plus. If you know about Christ, if you've heard the gospel many, many times and you've yet ignored him and you die like that, and you die unrepentant and you die without faith and saving trust in Christ, oh, there will be a death plus. You will die with the added guilt of great knowledge and privilege and advantage, but you still didn't use it. The wages of sin is death. That's for every sinner. Whether they've heard the gospel or not, they are guilty before God. But if you hear the gospel and then reject it, you are doubly guilty. There are greater wages to be paid. For the wages of sin is death. Death is the death of character. Death is inner corruption. Death is punishment that is positively inflicted by God. Death is banishment. Death is loss. Death is eternal regret. Death is in darkness. Death is in the lake of fire. Death is awful. Death is irrecoverable. There is no recovery from death. It's irrevocable. There will be no turning about and a calling from. It's fixed. It's eternal. Do you really want these wages? Will you go on working for wages like this? They will most certainly be paid. The wages of sin is death. Ah, but look, and isn't it lovely that it finishes this way? For the wages of sin is death. Just stop there. If there was nothing else, if there was no Christ to preach, no gift to speak of, just the earning of sin's wages, and here we are, diligently working, great efforts to have these wages, and they will be paid out. But notice, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here is the good news. Here is the gospel. Here's the wonderful good news. The gift of God, not something I have to be proficient in, not something I have to labor at, not something I have to do at all. I'm working. I'm earning death, death eternal. But God comes, as it were, with a gift and sets it down and says, the free gift from me, the gift of salvation, the gift of everlasting life. You notice it? Sin's wages, death, God's gift, life. Sin's wages have been earned, and they must be paid out. Can't be any agreement, you see, simply to forget them. Not pay them. You can't go along, for example, though in life some do, don't they? The super wealthy that may charge a fee, and maybe it's a rather large fee for their services, can sometimes, if it's a work or a service for a charity, will waive their fee. It's okay. I don't want the wages. I don't want my fee. I waive it. There's no sinner can say that to God. I'll waive the fee. They'll want to. Of course they will. When it's too late, they'll not want the wages. Oh, I don't want them. Don't pay them to me. It's fine. It doesn't work like that, does it? The wages of sin is death, and God will see that's paid. Absolutely. We can't tell him to keep the wages. No, it simply cannot be. But if you notice also, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, here's the love of God. Here is God who sees what we've earned, what we've worked for, what we deserve. And what does he do? He says, I must pay the wages. I will pay them. Oh, but look, I will provide a remedy. I will arrange this. I will see those wages which have already been earned, by the way. Just one sin from the moment you were born. Indeed, you were born with a sinful nature. Antagonistic to God. You just expressed it when you were able, and you've gone on expressing it as you've lived. Various forms of sin, and they come in many different forms, as you know. You know your own. You know what you've said. You know what you've done. You know what you've thought. You know what you've been up to if nobody else does. You and God know. But there's hope, there's life in Christ. And what God says, as it were, I must pay the wages. You've already earned them. Can't go back on it. Can't pretend you didn't do that. And that wage that you've earned already is death. But what I'll do, and what he has done, in the Trinitarian arrangement and agreement, and particularly between the Father and the Son, Christ would come. The Son of God would become a man, and God would pay the wages of sin to him. They must be paid. He will pay them. But the beauty and the glory of the gospel is the wages I earned as a guilty, corrupt sinner, rebellious sinner, defiled. The wages I've earned, Christ said, pay them to me. He never earned one penny of that judgment. Not a farthing. If you can remember some, what a farthing actually was. 1/4 of an old 1D, 1 penny. If I could think of a smaller coin, I would use it. Christ did not deserve anything but exaltation, glory, majesty. But he became the man on earth that sin's wages might be paid to him, so that he might give a gift to those that repent and believe in him. The wages of sin is death. I'll take that wage. Not just for that one sinner. For millions of them. Pay the wages to me. This is what God did in his loving kindness and mercy. And Christ on Calvary's cross received wages. The wages you should have been paid. The wages I certainly should have been paid. Every believer, every one of his people, he paid the wages, or the wages were paid to him so that I don't have them. I don't want those wages. No, but I can have the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what Paul means when he's speaking here of the wages paid out and the gift of God through Christ. Christ takes the wages. Not that the wages aren't paid and remain here somewhere. Just not paid out. Some people don't get wages. In fact, it wasn't that long ago. It may even still be the case for some. If you couldn't work, unlike the sick pay arrangements which are in many places today, if you couldn't work, you just lost that day's pay. If you couldn't work for a week, you lost the week's pay. If you couldn't work for a month or longer, you got no pay. Well, there was no such arrangement in place for many people. Probably still is, certainly for millions and millions across the world it is. And what would happen in such cases like that, even in this country many years ago? Well, quite often, if you weren't part of any welfare system, and I'm going back even before it, what would happen? No work, no pay, can't pay for rent, can't buy food. What would happen? Perhaps a kind person, a neighbor, a relative would come, and they would just give you. And maybe it would be a number if they weren't wealthy themselves. But some would contribute this, some would contribute that, and they would help this needy family, this needy person. That's the way it would be. It's certainly the way in the gospel. The wages of sin, death, but the gift of God is eternal life. No, you cannot earn that. You cannot work for that. You cannot be proficient in any way to merit it. No, it's God's gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He's earned for us eternal life. He said, I take their wages and then I'll work. I'll perfectly obey the law. I'll perfectly obey the Father. I'll do all that's required. I will labor and labor and labor, and I will do so perfectly so that I can give as a gift eternal life. That glorious thought. The gospel is simple as I can explain it. You're working for a wage. God's going to pay you. It's death. Eternally. But he is a merciful and gracious God and says, on the other hand, take this gift. It's eternal life. You don't earn it. You won't deserve it. You never could. It's from me. It's from my heart of love. It's from the Son. It's from Christ. He's done it all. Come to the Savior. How could you reject? How could you ignore that? How could you just forget it didn't happen? How could you go home and be the same? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.